You are called. Now, last Sunday, we understood our first calling is to be loved by God. I love that. God called me to be loved by Him. He said, I create you so I can love you, Larry. And my love will never cease. My love will go to the depth of who you really are. And who you really are, one day I'll invite to come on home. The home that I've prepared for you. And He talks to each one of us. And He says, you're there so I can love you. And I want to love you more. I want to give you more. I want to protect you more. And I'm not talking about wealth from the human standpoint. I'm talking about the love of Almighty God for peace. I know a lot of wealthy folks that have no peace. All the money in the world. Never will have to worry about it. But they're not at peace within their heart. One said to me years ago, I'd give anything to have what you have. And I said, no, you wouldn't. It doesn't cost me anything. You see, it's when I was created by God in the image of God, just like you were. God says, I created you so I can love you. Do you ever get the feeling that nobody loves you? Remember the old song or little ditty, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms. We're living in a society of people that look with the expression on their face like they've had the worms. Christians who will get hit by life and quit God. Folks, when you're getting crushed by life, it is not wise to quit God. The only hope that you have in this life. We as Christians need to grow up. We need to grow in the Spirit of God. God said, I've created you to love you. I love you, Larry. What else do I need? I cannot fear any human enemy. And Satan, I cannot stand toe-to-toe to. But I don't have to. I know Jesus. He's tough in a fight. And you're talking about your Creator. It said He created you to love you. And then all hell comes against you. All the world comes against you. What would you do when you see that happening to just your child? Would you not intervene as best you could? And I'm talking about real mothers and real fathers. I'm not talking about these incubators and sperm donors. I'm talking about real, real parents. And folks, it is time that we act like God has called us to act. I'm loved, so therefore, must I not love? I'm loved by God, so therefore, I got extra love. God pours it out. But you do not allow the foolishness to come into God's house. I'll tell you why in just a second. Because this is the second purpose. The second calling in our life, we are called to belong. Belong. Don't you hate it when you don't feel like you belong? Oh, gosh, I've been to some of these get-togethers where, you know, everybody has their finger. I always thought their finger was broke. A little finger sticking out there when they drank tea, and I'm wanting it in a glass. Well, they don't give me in that little sissy cup. Think of it. So God says to us, you're going to belong. You belong to me. And Larry, you belong to me, and you don't have to have a crooked little finger. Think of that. Here we go. Hebrews 2, verse 10. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. What things are for His glory? All things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children share His glory. The church, the body, are the children of God. That's why Jesus came. We are adopted into God's very own family. And Jesus says that all the things that He did, you and I can do also, and you and I will know the love of God. Because we are like brothers and sisters. No more, he says, do I call you servant. I call you friend. I'm a friend of God. Now, if you have a powerful friend that you know can get you out of trouble or whatever it is, don't you go talk to that powerful friend that may be power within from the human standpoint. Why would we not then go to our Father? All power, all glory, all strength, all everlasting love. Why do we not go to our Father and say, Lord, all hell is coming against me. I'm breaking down. I don't even feel complete anymore. I'm hurting. I'm walking around in this life in a daze. See, God's the great physician. Jesus says, I'll take care of that. Oh, but then the Christian dies. Yeah, that's the best taken care of I'll ever have. I'm just waiting for my ride. What a blessing to know that. The second purpose of my life is that God formed me for his family. I was created for his family. So were you. Ephesians 1:5, his unchanging plan. Meaning God had this in order before anything began. You got it? His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. It's always been that way. People of the Old Testament, you say, how did they get saved? They got saved when they believed in the coming Messiah. After Jesus came, how did they get saved? They believed in the Messiah that had come. In the church age which we live in, how do we get saved? We believe in the Christ who was to come, who did to come, and is coming back, and he's coming back in glory. You and I get to share in his glory, but you don't have to wait. God says you belong to me, and you don't mess with God's children. You know how I know? Read a book called the Holy Bible. Great book. Those of you who don't even believe that are listening, read the book called the Bible, and you'll find out very quickly how God looks upon the enemy against his children. God's family is called the church. God's family is called the church. We are the bride. Jesus coming back for us, 1 Timothy 3:14-15. I am writing to you so you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church of the living God. And support and foundation of the truth. The support and the foundation of the truth is the church. Or what happens? Eli, the great prophet, falls back and he kills him and falls because he's a great heavy man and he dies. His daughter-in-law comes in and she sees that the Ark of the Covenant of God in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant had been captured. And she looked at her father-in-law and she said one word, Ichabod. Ichabod. You know what that is? What it means to us? The Spirit of God doesn't live here anymore. The Spirit of God has departed. Many of our churches today, folks, the Spirit of God has departed. Well, where is he? Well, according to the Jesus, as the apostate church at Laodicea, he's at the door knocking to get back in. He wants back in his church. Yet through pride, through arrogance, through greed, many in leadership roles of our day, they're to be leaders, and they take, take, take. Folks, the mark
of a man of God, of a woman of God, is not in what they take, but what they give. And the giving comes by the heart of Christ. The giving that God tells us to do, it says, well, Lord, what do I have? Well, Larry, I created you for a purpose. How about doing what I created you to do? Ah, then that light bulb goes on. And then you ask the foolish question. Lord, while I'm in this conversation with you, what was it you called me to do? You know why we forget? Because we get sucked into the world. The world looks glamorous. I've been there. The end is hell. The end is destruction. Hurt and pain. Jesus said, Larry, I took the hurt and pain. I took your guilt on the cross. I took your whipping. I took your sentence on myself. Now, will you please live for me? I died for you. That's the church. God's family is called the church of the living God. Here's something else. I am called to belong to his church. Ephesians 2:19. So now you are no longer visitors or strangers. Now you are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family. Got it? Romans 1:6. You are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. The Greek word meaning that they use for church, it's the called out. The called out. Not called in. The church is to go out. Well, even hell itself, if you listen to Jesus, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Gates are a defense. That means you and I have to go attack hell. Instead of accepting it in our life, we are to bring an attack against it. Well, how do I do that? I don't know. I don't know what your calling is, but I tell you this, I know the one who knows. And I can guarantee you this one. When you get there, he then will reveal to you what you will do. God's not going to waste grace. I give you grace, Larry. Oh, Lord, give me more grace. Why? You haven't used what I've given you. Where's your love? I gave you love. Well, but Lord, I'm trying. I had a professor one time, became very close friends with, said, let me know. This is how we became great friends, because I love them when they're cocky. And I said, I will try. It was in Greek class. Gosh. And he said, Brother Vance, to try is to fail. You get in and you do. Yeah, well, that soaked in my spirit. But my brain had a horrible time. Did you ever get in class like that? You know that God's led you to it, but and you know, okay, I'm studying, and your brain has no idea what your spirit is doing. God says that I'm called to his church. Called to belong. Let me explain this as best as I can. I am a Christian. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I'm heaven bound, folks. There's no question in my mind or my spirit. I'm heaven bound. But God called me, and he called you to be a part of his son's body. Why? My personality doesn't go over with everyone's. And the rougher I get, the fewer it goes over with. But my personality will not do that. But, and the only way I know, and I've done this for our church many times, let's say that 99% of who I am as a human being is horrible. I'm a mess. 1% is good. Each one of you are in the same mess. If we all take that 1% of the good, unite together, isn't that 100%? See, Jesus did not create me to represent him on my own. I cannot represent who Christ is. I cannot do that. I can only represent a part of who Jesus is. And we've got to get the parts together, folks. We've got to get the parts together. Here's five biblical metaphors that'll show us the benefits of belonging. First metaphor is God's family. In God's family, the church is God's family. I learn my true identity. Let me tell you about your identity. Your identity is shown to the world by the relationships you have or don't have in the world. Now, my identity, I have to look at deep. Now, if I'm going to go out here and hang around every hoodlum in the world, it doesn't count because I was a prison chaplain, okay? That part of it. But if I'm going to hang around them, aren't people going to say, well, you're one of them? But if I say that I am a Christian and don't hang around fellow Christians, aren't those fellow Christians going to question your loyalty to one another and to Christ? But if I do hang around them, then won't the world know? Yeah, he's one of those odd Christians over at Van Grove Baptist Church. They really believe that the Spirit of God is alive and well today. They really believe that it's the name of Jesus and only his name that'll get you to heaven. They are so odd. Isn't it sad that we're living in a generation where Christianity has become the enemy of the very ones that we're going out to try to share Christ with? There is a war against Christianity. And it's not just waged, folks, in the foreign land where we see the Christians slaughtered. It's right here in America. I can stand up and rub Buddha's belly all I want. I can stand and I can call on Muhammad. I can stand and I can do all of these other things. Believe in reincarnation. Oh, that's a great concept. Oh, that's good. But when I say Jesus, you say that again now, you're going to go to jail. You mark my words, it's coming. Mark my words, that's going to be hate speech. Unless there's a change in the heart of our nation, that will be hate speech. How do I know? It's already being called hate speech. And I have been called a hateful person. And I just love hate speech of love. You see, inviting someone in to peace of mind, to joy, to power, to invite someone in, that's not hate, that's love. To reach down in that ditch of life with those that the world don't want and to say, God loves you. He sent me down here in the ditch of life to help you get out. That person will recognize the love of God. Ephesians 2:19. You are members of God's very own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Hebrews 2:11. Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. That is why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Listen to me, hard-hearted Baptist and soft-hearted Baptist. It will not just be Baptist in heaven. Any Christian denomination, don't you dare condemn. For in that name of Christ, our Catholic brethren, our Pentecostal brethren, our Presbyterian brethren, our Lutheran brethren, all are the body of Christ. What we need to do is find a group that we can fellowship with comfortably. Be at peace with the church or the fellowship. But all of us are the body of Christ. And yes, there will be some Baptist in heaven. Number two, in Christ's body. That's a metaphor. We are in Christ's body. I discover my unique values in the body of Christ. Well, let me read a scripture. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as there are many parts to our body, so it is with Christ's body. We are all part of it. And it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. Okay, I'm complete, well, yeah, physically, I think. But let's say God calls me to do certain things. Let's say that I know then that God has called me to be his left arm in a situation, or his right arm. But what I've done, I've taken my right hand off and laid it over on a counter. Now, can I glorify God with that right hand that's not attached? Can I do that? No, I can't do that. God says, I want you, and I need all of you working together to represent Jesus. See, I can't totally represent Jesus on my own. You can't either. All of us working together, we represent the body of Christ. All of us are different. All of us look different. All of us smell different. All of us are different. But we have one base, and that's the church, the body of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, 15, 16. If your foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if your ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Folks, we got to get to work in the body. My doctors tell me, get to work on the body. Larry, too much fudge. Get to work on it. And so I shall. But what does he say to the church? The body of Christ? He did not tell us to come in and lock the doors. He did not tell us ever to do that, nor did he tell us to allow our backsides to grow to the pew. He didn't say that either. He called us to stand up, speak out, and to reach out to those that don't know him. And we can only do it together. Ephesians 4, 25. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. I cannot do what God has called me to do unless I'm connected to the church, his body. I can't. But he's called you to be a lone ranger. Somebody got to show me that in the Bible. Well, it doesn't matter whether it's in there or not. They should have put it there. These are the answers that you get from the foolishness that we hear taught today. Number three, the church is being in God's temple. Now, I know that we individually as bodies are God's temple. We've got to better get about our Father's business. I'm supported by others. You've got to be here. You all will support me. If anybody's going to chew me out, it'll be one of you all. But you are not going to listen to anybody outside the fellowship do it for very long. I hope. Ephesians 2, 21, 22. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be about. God's business. You want to play in all of this other, then get in a club where you can play. But don't leave God out of your life. Go enjoy life. God didn't tell you not to enjoy life. If you can go out on a vacation to spend and be retired and have plenty of income and do all of that, this pastor is tickled to death for you. But you can't retire from God. That's a no-no. You can't retire from God. Think of that. In Christ, the whole building is joined together. Well, there's a term that's being thrown around on TV today with what's going on in our nation. And it's a term that really, really burns me up. And that term is, well, those are lower-end jobs. And we need people doing the lower-end jobs. And the American people will not do the lower-end jobs. So we will get all the illegals that we possibly can and bring them in to do the lower-end jobs. I'm a Christian. There is no such thing as a lower-end job. There is no such thing as that. Every individual is created in the image of God for a purpose, and that purpose is to love others like God has loved us. You let something happen to your little toe. Watch it. You think that little dangling thing there don't mean anything? You go home tonight, take a big wire plier, cut it. And let me see you next Sunday as you limp into church. You see, it takes every part, right? And each of us, that's the reason I've told you many, many times, folks, I love grouches. We have grouches in our church. We need grouches to lead other grouches to Christ, right? And all of us doing our part, doing what God has called us to do. Have you ever fallen apart? I mean, just you don't know what to do next. You're destroyed. Let me tell you something. Look at Romans 1:12. I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Catch it? Okay. I have been broken many times in my ministry. I get broken all the time, just about every day, from some situation that is going on. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. That's Romans 1:12. Think of that. I want us to help each other. Sometimes I couldn't hold it together. You ever been to where you can't hold it together? You ever gone to one of those little rages, rants? Y'all are lying to me, aren't you? You know exactly what I mean. You're talking about being torn from within. You get to the point to where you can't help yourself. You cannot pull up. You can't do it. There's where you all come in. There's where I come in for you all. We use our faith to help put the preacher back together again. We'll do him as a potato head. Think of that. And each part will be helped. If I don't have the relationship with each one of you all, what if the gift God or the calling God has given you is what I need at that time? Others love me and they want to help, but they can't. Why? That's not their gift. Their gift then would be according to what God has given, and we are to bring the church together, united together, and finally standing for the truth of Almighty God. And if the powers to be do not like the name of Jesus Christ, then don't listen to it. But you and I as Christians must never turn our back on the truth of God. For the hope of the world is in the heart of the Christian. The hope of the world was placed in the heart of the Christian by Jesus himself. Therefore, be about your Father's business. Number four, the church is called in God's flock. We're called a flock. And let me read you my job description from the Bible. You ready? This is for me as pastor. 1 Peter 5:2. Take care of God's flock, his people, that you are responsible for, Watch over them because you want to, not because you're forced to do it. Oh, no, everybody in my family was a preacher, so I got to be a preacher. No, you don't. If God hasn't called you, better not mess with that calling. That's a calling you don't mess with. You don't say, I'm called to preach, and you do it out of false love. And you think, well, I can do good. No, you can't. You can do good things. If it isn't blessed by God, it's not going to be good. What good is it to me to give a person a loaf of bread to eat and not tell them about eternal food through the word of Jesus Christ? Galatians 6:2. Share each other's troubles and problems. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love. His ultimate law was love. It all keys back to love. Not the Ten Commandments. Love. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage each other and give each other strength. Not, oh, you know, this would make you be a better Christian. I want you to dress like everybody else dresses. I want you to talk. Let me give you a lecture or a lesson on how to speak Christian. Oh, I hate that kind of stuff. Because you see, when you got the love of Jesus in you, you've got the lesson. When you got the love of Jesus in your heart and God Almighty has called you to a particular task and you've decided you're going to push you out of the way, then I guarantee you, my friends, you will strengthen one another. But you'll never strengthen somebody by condemning them for what they're not doing or how they don't look. I want you to think about it this way. You don't look so hot yourself a lot of time, right? Can you imagine what they thought? Well, read the book called the Bible, and you don't have to imagine it. You can see it written where John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness eating bugs and honey. And there's nothing in the Bible that says there was a shower out there at all. I mean, it's obvious. When he came with that strong voice lifting it high, praising God, eating bugs and honey and reeking, the only thing they could say, that's got to be a man of God. Why? Because he's talking about love. And watch the people who don't want to hear it. Oh, John, go take a shower. You can be a part of our church. Hey, John, clean it up. You got skin clothing on. These animal skins. That's interesting. Do you notice we wear a lot of skin clothes today ourselves? Wasn't anything wrong with it. Just they wouldn't let him be a part. But then again, they didn't ask him to be. He was called by God to usher in the coming of his cousin, Jesus Christ. He's called by God. This is what you're going to do. John said, I'll do it. And I'll do it with the heart you've given me. In God's garden, number 5, the church is in God's garden. My life becomes productive. You see, you learn the word of Christ in the church. Oh, I know we can read and we can study it on our own and all, but do you know that if you would really think about it, the person right beside you might have a little insight you don't have and that you don't know at all. That together we build, together we can stand up. But I can tell you this, when you decide to leave God's garden, you can't produce. You're unproductive. How many times have I heard the people, folks, I have a witness with heartbreaking agony. Young men in the Lord called to preach, and then they're pulled out of church because of wives or family. You don't want to do that. and go right back into the world. I don't know the punishment on that. I do not know. I don't understand that. I don't understand when anybody says I'm called to preach and you start listening to them as they are sharing the word of God and you know they're called to preach, but their wife or somebody else is ashamed of them because they're not well educated. Let me tell you something again. Your education and preaching comes from God. When I was called to preach, I was called to study. But I was called to study by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I learned at seminary. I learned quite quickly. I got to take a test on that. All right? I don't believe anything they have in there is right. So I'll answer their question. I'll take the grade. And I'll have enough common sense to throw it in the garbage. That's it, folks. And that's a fact. Our seminary is today pushing, Southern Seminary, pushing so deeply Calvinism. You don't have a choice to accept Jesus Christ. You were born either to go to hell or go to heaven. That to me is a doctrine straight from the pits of hell. I don't care if our seminary is doing it. John 15 verses 4 and 5. A branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. I am the vine, you are the branches, those who remain in me, and I in them. Remember, Laodicea? Jesus wasn't in the church. He was outside the church. Oh, they're still singing and praising hallelujah and all of this. There's even ever so often mentioning Jesus. But Jesus wasn't there. He was outside. A branch cannot produce the fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Got it? You see, that's the word of God. Every one of us have a calling. Every one of us have responsibility for our calling. Well, I thought you said God gives it to me. You have a responsibility to make sure that the calling God has given you will be fed in the church, where the body of believers is, where Christ is. Jesus said, I died for the church. What does Jesus talk about when he's coming a second time? I'm coming for the bride, the church. I want to be in church that day. Don't you? Think of it. Those of the Old Testament who refused to accept the love of God, we don't believe the Messiah is coming. Those at the beginning of the New Testament, many said, we don't believe that this man Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. And then the church age says Jesus is coming back for the church. And the cry of today is the foolishness, because the gospel is too simple. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's just too simple. Who could love me enough to forgive me for everything past and everything to come? You know, when God speaks to our heart, he speaks with a megaphone directly to our spirit. Never have I ever heard him say, don't take my message. Larry, you stand. If they knock you out, I'll send someone else to stand and stand and stand. And I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. Either I'm going to be working for Jesus here, or I'm gone. One of these days you're going to hear it. And you will hear, and you can make this. Remember when Elvis has left the building? You can say, Larry Pete's left the body. He's gone. It don't get any better than that, Brother Randy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We ask your special anointing, your special love as you touch our heart. We thank you, Father, for that love and for the gift of love. Touch each of us as we understand our calling in your church. Lead us, Father, in the direction you have us to go. As your body, give us courage, boldness, that we might truly stand for your truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.